Are you dreaming of visiting Switzerland? Planning a trip to Switzerland is very exciting, but it can also be overwhelming. How do you choose which of the many scenic cities, towns, and villages to visit? Which mountaintop excursions should you take? And what's the best way to get around Switzerland? And of course, how much of the country can you realistically see within your time frame? If you've asked yourself any of these questions, this is the podcast for you. This is the Holidays to Switzerland travel podcast, and in each episode, your host Carolyn Schonefinger chats with Swiss travel experts to answer your most commonly asked questions, provide practical tips, and take you on a virtual visit to the most popular destinations, and of course some hidden gems to help you plan your dream trip to Switzerland. And you'll hear plenty of conversations about Swiss cheese and chocolate too. Are you ready to plan your trip to Switzerland? Well, let's get started.
Welcome to episode 82 of the podcast. Today, I'm joined by Carrie Nichols, who recently returned from a family trip to Switzerland. Despite only having 5 days to spend in Switzerland, Carrie and her family were able to visit numerous places and enjoy some wonderful experiences whilst creating lasting memories along the way. In my chat with Carrie, she shares her itinerary and all the highlights of her trip, and she has some handy tips for other families considering a Swiss vacation too. Before we hear from Carrie, I'd like to say a huge thank you to our podcast sponsor, Switzerland Tourism. Their website, myswitzerland.com, has lots of helpful information to help with your Swiss trip planning. So do go and take a look. If you need the train ride of a lifetime, you need Switzerland. Hi, Carrie. Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast. It's lovely to have you here chatting with me today.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Great. So could you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and where you're from and if you're a frequent traveler and all the stuff that gives us a good background about yourself?
Absolutely. I'm Carrie. I am currently in Maryland. We've been here almost 15 years. It's me, my husband, and three children. I've got three kids, ages 13, 10, and 7. And I actually lived in France and Switzerland for a while. I met my husband in Geneva, Switzerland, and then we were recently celebrating our 15th anniversary, which is actually why we visited Switzerland this year.
Ah, perfect. So I was going to ask you, why did you visit Switzerland? But I can see there's that connection there. 15 years ago, well, you've been married 15 years. How long ago was it that you both met in Geneva?
So we met in 2005.
Okay. Yeah, fantastic. Well, what a lovely place to meet. Once you decided that you were going to return to Switzerland for your 15th wedding anniversary trip, what sort of resources did you use to help plan the trip? Did you look at websites, blogs, social media? What sort of things did you find helpful?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, so my husband had been able to explore Switzerland more when he was there. I actually didn't get to see it much. I was mostly centered in Geneva and felt a little sheltered from some of the other like beautiful parts of Switzerland. So I let him map out the route. And then I went and started planning based on his itinerary, his locations, what we would do. And I used, blogs, podcasts. I especially was looking for like family blogs. That was the biggest thing that I think I wanted to use just to get other people who had taken children, because this was our first European trip with all of the kids. So I wanted to make sure that I did it in a way that they were comfortable and happy and engaged. And it felt like it was a fun vacation for them as well.
Yeah. Okay. And did you sort of involve them in any aspects of the planning, or did you, obviously, you know your kids, so you know what they like, but did you sort of say, well, you know, we could do this or we could do that. What do you think? Or did you kind of make the decision for them?
A little bit of both. I knew some things that I just knew that they were going to love. I would like read a blog and I would see something that I was like, oh, they're for sure going to love that. And then even while we were there, sometimes we would tweak plans based on feedback. All of my children love swimming. So if we can get them in a hotel pool or a lake somewhere, that's going to be fun. And so that we did a little bit of both. I did some planning, thinking about them, and I also did some listening to their feedback.
Okay, great. So when was your trip?
So we went, what was it? August, I think 14th that we flew out. And I think we arrived on the 15th. So it's very, very recent, just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, okay. And what was the weather like while you were there?
It's actually good. I was worried, and I've seen this a lot in other posts. Like, people will like notice the weather and think that the weather is going to be terrible. And I had the same experience. I was looking at the forecast and I was saying, it's going to rain the whole time, our trip's going to be ruined. And it was, I think it rained one day and we were actually just able to pivot, and it was wonderful.
It's great to be able to have that flexibility, isn't it? Like going with the mindset that, okay, we might have to slightly change our plans to avoid bad weather in one spot, or do an indoor activity if there's a bit of drizzle. But as you say, a lot of people get so hung up about the weather forecast. But when you're in the mountains, the weather can change, you know, five times a day. So
exactly. Actually, I would say the concern that I wasn't thinking about too much was the heat, and it was hot. It was warm while we were there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That is definitely something that some people underestimate. They think we're going to this mountainous country, it won't be hot, but the old buildings, you know, they're not air conditioned, a lot of them. So
yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, oh, it's going to be up in the mountains. It's going to cool off. And I underestimated the heat.
Yeah. Well, it's easy to do. It's a common thing. So can you give us a bit of an overview of your trip, where you flew into and which places you stayed in and for how long?
Absolutely. So we flew into Geneva, and we actually visited Switzerland and France. So I'm going to give you I'll go into more detail about Switzerland, but I'll give you a little teeny highlight about France. So we did 5 days and five nights in Switzerland. So we landed in Geneva, and we did 5 days and five nights in Switzerland. And then we did an additional 4 days and three nights in France.
Okay. So did you also fly home from Geneva?
We actually didn't. So that was part of the hiccup. We usually book these kinds of trips on points, and we were able to get a really great deal flying into the Geneva airport on points. And we couldn't find what we were looking for going back home, but we found a crazy deal leaving out of Paris. So we took the TGV up to Paris. So we did circle back around to Geneva and took the TGV from Geneva up to Paris.
Okay. Yeah. Fantastic. Well, that's another great thing to know, that you don't have to fly into and out of the same city. You can do what's called an open jaw trip if that makes more sense.
Exactly. And so there's so much flexibility there. So you can, and you know, whether you're paying cash or points, like, you can look for great deals. And there's so many easy ways to get from city to city in Europe.
Yeah, exactly. So you mentioned there that you used the TGV when you went up to Paris, but how did you get around when you were in Switzerland?
So we rented a car during our time there. We just kind of thought, with the itinerary that we had, we were also staying only for, you know, a short amount of time in some of our locations. We really wanted the flexibility to get there kind of as quickly as we could. We didn't want to deal with the train situation. And having kids too, I think that just sometimes easy to have them in a car with us instead of dealing with public transportation.
Yeah, sure. And I guess if you need to make a stop, it's easy to do that. Whereas, yeah, getting off the train and then getting on the next train can be a bit more difficult. Yeah. Okay. So can you tell us now a bit more detail about your itinerary, which places you stayed in and what you did each day while you were there?
Absolutely. So day one, we landed in Geneva and we kind of just hit the ground running. I think we got in probably like 8 a.m. I think our flight was delayed. It was supposed to be in at 7. We hit the ground running. We actually did a day use hotel to go get like showered, rested for just a couple of hours, just get ready for the day. And then we started driving. We visited Château de Chillon over in Montreux. And I had never been there before, but my husband had. And it was beautiful. We loved that. It was a great way to start the trip. And then we headed up to Maison Cailler and we did a chocolate factory tour. And the kids loved that. That was a highlight. I love chocolate. I'm all about chocolate. So you want to incorporate chocolate on any kind of trip and I'm there for it. But it was really engaging for them. And they had great samples, like a good selection of samples. So we stocked up on chocolate, and then we headed over to Gruyère. And we did dinner there, and I had been to Gruyère before, and it was probably my fondest memory during my time when I was in Geneva. And so it was so fun to be back and to experience that with my family. It's so cute. I love that it's mostly a walking village. We had dinner there. The view from our restaurant was just jaw-droppingly beautiful, and it was a perfect first day. So,
and you probably had the benefit too that a lot of the day trippers had gone. So by the
time absolutely.
You were there for dinner, I'm sure it was a lot less busy than it may have been if you were there for lunch.
It was surprisingly quiet and wonderfully so. Like I could tell that as we were trying to find parking spot that people were leaving, and I was like, oh, it's perfect. It was a great timing. And then we headed up to the hotel that we were staying at in Fribourg that night.
Okay. Great. And where did you go next?
So that night we stayed in Hotel La Croix Blanche in Fribourg, and that was just kind of a practical location. It was great for a family of five. It had two bedrooms and then a living room, which was nice. I think it's difficult to find lodging for five people in Europe in general. So we had to search for that kind of stuff. We went and explored Fribourg the next morning, just quickly. And then this was our bad weather day. So we were originally planning on going straight to Grindelwald, and it was raining and we decided against that. So we took a detour and we visited Lake Thun, and we had the Bernese Oberland Pass, the 3-day BO pass. And we did the Lake Thun boat cruise and we visited Oberhofen Castle. And it was a gem. I was just like kind of throwing darts. I was like, okay, what are cool castles in the area? I stumbled upon that one. It looked beautiful and it was amazing. It was so kid friendly. They had just introduced, I think that month, like a mouse hunt where the kids go and they're like, they hidden mouse throughout the castle to get them kind of engaged. So we as adults get to enjoy visiting, and then they have this fun activity that keeps them entertained and not so bored. And it was amazing. It was incredible.
Yeah, it's a great castle. And I visited it for the first time myself this summer. I've been past plenty of times on the boat, but this year we went and visited it. Yeah, it's great. And the displays in the room of reenacting how it would have looked all those years ago. Yeah, really.
It was really fun. It was really fun. And I've never been in a tour like that. As far as like castles go, like usually it's kind of like you go room to room and you see what would have been, but it's a lot more, it's almost entertaining. Like you said, like they've got multimedia in there. It's cool.
Yeah. No, that's great. Okay. So did you hopped off the boat. So you were doing the cruise, you hopped off the boat at Oberhofen, and then you hopped back on and went back to Thun, or did you go further?
Yep, that's correct. We didn't go see a lot of the lake. Unfortunately, I wish we had time to do more, and I wish we had been able to go back. Our time was limited, but we did just Thun, Oberhofen, and then back to Thun. And okay. It's gorgeous, yeah. Gorgeous.
Yeah. Okay. So then I guess you drove on to Grindelwald.
That's right. Yeah. So we headed on to check in at our Airbnb. We stayed at the Chalet Carve. I think it's like four units that are owned by this super nice family. And it was incredible. It's got this beautiful view and a nice deck. It also accommodates a family of five. So it was two bedrooms. They had a kid's room that had three beds, and it was perfect for us. So okay. We really loved it.
Okay. So did you have any time once you got to Grindelwald that first day to look around there, or was that more just arriving, settling in?
So we arrived just before dinner time. We got settled in, and then we spoke with the host of the Airbnb, and she gave us a few dinner recommendations. And so we were able to go find a really nice dinner place with this just stunning view. And it's almost hard when you're in Grindelwald, it's almost hard to believe what you're looking at. The mountains are just breathtaking and gigantic, and it feels like you're in a painting. So we had an incredible dinner. I think that was the Alpenhof hotel restaurant that we ate at that night, and it was just an incredible introduction to Grindelwald.
So. Yeah, good. Okay. So then I think you stayed there three nights. Is that right? In Grindelwald?
That's right.
Yeah.
So, yep, we did.
What did you do on those two sort of full days that you had there?
So the next day was the first full day that we had in Grindelwald, and we went up to Mannlichen, and we played at that playground. What is it? The Alpine playground up there in Mannlichen. And that was incredible. I've never seen playgrounds like that in my life. I just, like, you get the combination of this like stunning, incredible view and then this amazing playground. My oldest is 13 and he was like, "Mom, why do the Swiss have all the cool things?" they were sold, and you're there and like there are cows all around you and their bells are ringing and it's like so picturesque and it's stunning. We went and visited Bangen and we did a little picnic down there and that was really cute. We just walked around a little bit and then we came back up and we did the hike down the Lieselette Trail, which is very kid friendly. I had seen that in some blogs and they explained that they're like, you know, 13 or 12 or 13 stops along the way. It's really like an hour and a half hike. And the stops along the way really keep the kids engaged. And, you know, they've got like water stops or milking a fake cow or, I don't know, just climbing on things. They've got binoculars at some of these stops. And that was perfect. So.
Yeah, good. Okay. So for the listeners that don't know, so you went from Grindelwald to, you can go up to Manlik and buy one cable car. And then there's another cable car that goes down the other side to Vengen. So you did all that and that is all covered with the Berner Oberland Pass.
Yep. And it was so easy to use going in. I was a little nervous about that kind of the public transportation beyond like with the rental car situation. And it was incredibly easy and intuitive. Once you go there, you're like, oh, it's not a big deal at all.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So after that, what did you do?
So that night we came home and we just ate dinner. We ate at the Hotel Aspen restaurant. My daughter's name is Aspen, so we couldn't resist. And that was delicious. Then we went back to Chalet Carve and we slept that night. And then the next day was another full day and we visited Almendjubel, mm-hmm. The flower playground. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, flower shell playground. Mm-hmm. And again, just like stunning. And we kind of lucked out. We got there early. There were a lot of people coming up to Murin, but there weren't as many people going up to Almendjubel and it wasn't too crowded. So we were probably one of like maybe two or three families up there at the beginning, which was nice. As we were leaving, I think more people were coming. And then we just hiked around and then we hiked back down. We did the hike back down to Murin. Okay. And we had lunch there at a bakery.
Mm-hmm. So again, just for the listeners that don't know, from Murin, you go up to Almendjubel on a little funicular. And you can go back down on that as well. But as you said, you hiked. How long did the hike take? About an hour?
I think so. Yeah. I think it was about an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And again, it's just beautiful too. So it's a fun hike.
Yeah. And whilst the kids are playing on all that great sort of play equipment, the adults can just get the most amazing views, can't they, from up there. It's just, yeah, stunning.
Exactly. That was the whole idea. We wanted something that we could enjoy and they could enjoy it. And you could just sit there and like look at the beautiful mountains while they're having a blast playing on these incredible playgrounds. So.
Yeah. And was the weather warm whilst you were staying in Grindelwald?
Yes, yeah. Very.
So you did have the very hot weather while you were there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was warm and made it kind of difficult to sleep at night. I wasn't too worried about trying to find places that had air conditioning because I'm like, oh, we're going to be up in the mountains. Not a big deal. It's okay. Like I knew it was August, which is going to be hotter, but I thought the locations we were staying at would cool off at night. And unfortunately it was warmer than I had anticipated. So.
Yeah. Okay. So were you able to go swimming at all whilst you were there?
We did. Yeah. So then that same day, actually, so we went down to Murin, had our lunch, and then we quickly went down and visited Lauterbrunnen. It was way too crowded that day for me. So we did not stay there very long. It was kind of like, okay, saw it. Okay. Bye. And then we decided we were going to spend more time there, but we actually decided to go, visit a little beach pool area on Lake Brienz. And it was awesome. I think it's called The Beach. It's in Boningen. And they have the waterfront of the lake, but they also have a pool so you can kind of do whatever. And then they, for the kids, they've got these two big trampolines like on the water and this little thing that connects them so you can run between trampolines, and the kids are like running, and it was so fun. Like there were a lot of local kids there. So my kids were playing with the local kids and making friends. And it was, I really think for the kids, it was one of the highlights of that trip.
Okay. So how did you find out about that? Was that something your Airbnb host had told you about? Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I said, listen, I think we might want to go swimming. Do you know Erin anywhere? And that was one of the places that she recommended, and it was perfect.
Yeah. Great. Okay. So the next day, what happened then?
So the next day we headed out. So that was our three nights in Grindelwald, and we headed on to Zermatt, which was a hike to get to. I knew it was going to be, I think it probably, the drive was probably 2.5 hours. And then of course you have to, you go park in, what is it, Tosh. And then you take the train up to Zermatt. And that was beautiful. And we lucked out and we had a clear day. So we had an amazing view of the Matterhorn, which the kids also said was one of their favorites. Just stunning. And that day we went up to Senega and we visited the Woolly Park playground up there. So fun. They've got this like lake and this cute little, I don't even know, it's like a raft that the kids can pull a string and they move themselves across the lake on this raft. And there, it was just a blast. So we spent probably a couple hours there, hiked around that a little bit. And then we went back down to Zermatt, walked around in the village down there. We ran into their old village. I think it's called Hinterdorf, where it's like the older houses that are from like the 15, 1600s, which was so cute and so fun. And Zermatt itself is really adorable. It was a really fun place. And then we just went back to the hotel. We got dinner at the hotel restaurant, and then went and swam at the pool for my youngest because he was looking for some pool time. So that was how we spent our time in Zermatt. It was great.
Okay, so with the, you stayed at a hotel there, was it difficult to find somewhere that accommodated all of you, or not?
Yes and no. We ended up, so we stayed at, it was kind of a strange find. It's the Best Western Alpen Resort, but it was awesome. It was really cool. They had, so on the main floor, they had like the main bed and then a sofa bed. And then upstairs they had a loft with two additional twin beds. So it was perfect for the kids. And from the balcony, we had this amazing view of the Matterhorn. So it was wonderful.
Okay. Wonderful. Okay. So once you'd left Zermatt, is that when you drove back to Geneva? France or not?
Yeah. The next day we did Chamonix. And okay. Then we went on to Geneva. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Great. All right. So what about, I mean, you've mentioned some of the restaurants and things that you ate at, and you had a few picnics and so forth. Did you find it was easy to find food that suited everyone? Or like, were your kids a bit apprehensive about trying Swiss food, or could you always find something that they were happy to eat?
I felt like it wasn't too bad. So for breakfast, mostly we had a couple of days where the hotel included breakfast, but when we were at the Airbnb, we just went and got groceries. So we did like simple, easy things like yogurt and cereals and things like that. For lunches, we tried to do more picnics. Like we'd go to a bakery and grab like quick sandwiches, and that was fine for them. And for dinner, we did try to push them to explore a little bit more some of the like Swiss food. I didn't think it was too hard. Like they would at least try it. The younger ones sometimes would get like a, you know, like a kid's meal that's more like chicken tenders or something. But we would encourage them to try our dishes as well. And they'd take a bite and either they loved it or they didn't. But I thought it was easy to find food. The food is definitely more expensive than I remembered. I knew Switzerland is expensive, but I think even for me, I was like, oh, this is more than I thought. This is more than I was anticipating, but it's worth it. It's worth the experience.
Yeah. So did you find Switzerland to be family friendly?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Like surprisingly family friendly. I was so impressed with the just kids everywhere and all of these beautiful playgrounds that are tailor-made to draw children in and allow them to explore the outdoors and have fun while they're doing it. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's great to know. So what would, I mean, you've already sort of mentioned a couple of things that you think were the highlights for your kids, but what sort of things do they keep talking about from the trip that really made an impression on them?
I think the playgrounds, yes. So we visited three. So in general, I would say the playgrounds are like memorable. The views of the mountains. So in every place we had some amazing, you know, you've got either the Eiger or the Matterhorn or Mont Blanc, like in Chamonix, like we just vistas that are unmatched. And then what else? I think those were the highlights for them. I think those are the big things. And the swimming, of course, the lakes are beautiful.
Yeah. Okay. So. And what about for you and your husband?
I would say that you feel like it's almost like a fairy tale. Like you feel like you're in a painting or something familiar that you're like, this is so beautiful. How can this possibly be real? So for me, it's the natural beauty of everything, I think was my favorite.
Yeah. It's certainly leaves a lasting impression, I think, on anyone who visits, because as you say, you think you're just looking at a postcard, but it's actually
exactly you. Yes. And you're like, I don't even know if my brain can capture all of this information.
And even when you take a photo, you know, like the photo might turn out wonderful, but it's still not as good as actually seeing it, is it?
100%. You know, when you're taking a picture, you're literally saying out loud, like, this doesn't do it justice. This just doesn't capture it. And it's going to be a beautiful picture and it's still not going to do it justice.
Yeah, that's so true. So was there anything that surprised you about Switzerland?
I would say I was surprised by the price, I think I was surprised because I was going in knowing that Switzerland is expensive, and it still caught me by surprise just how expensive like food was in particular. It surprised me how warm it got in the mountains, even at night. I was expecting hot days, but cool nights. And that was maybe partially true. It certainly cools off at night, but it was still warm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And when you say that you found food expensive, did you find the prices in the grocery stores more expensive than you would have expected as well? Or was it mainly just from restaurants and eating out?
I would say both, but emphasis on restaurants. I think the restaurants in particular were surprising for me.
Yeah. Okay. From this trip, is there anything that you wish you had done differently? Would you next, like if you were doing the same trip again now with hindsight, would you change anything around, or were you happy with how it all went?
That's such a great question. I've been trying to think about this one and I'm torn, because I would say I wish we could have added time on to our trip, because really, we wanted to see a lot of places, but we also didn't have a lot of time. I wish we had been able to give Zermatt more time. I wish we'd been able to give Chamonix more time. But realistically, we had some constraints based on like work and getting the kids back for school and everything. So we were doing the best we could, but I wish we had had some more days to add on to that trip.
Yeah, I think anyone thinks that, no matter how long they visit Switzerland for.
Exactly. I think you could be in there, you could be there a month and still say like you don't feel like you had enough time. So yeah, totally.
Absolutely. So for those other families that are listening that are thinking of planning their own family vacation to Switzerland, have you got any tips for them?
This is a really random practical tip. So when we flew into Geneva, when we were renting a car, we did not realize there's a French side of the airport and a Swiss side of the airport. And the side, it matters what side you rent the car on. So if you're going to be in Switzerland, you need to rent from the Swiss side, because I guess they have some sort of vignette that it's like a toll pass or something, I think, right?
Yeah.
It's cheaper sometimes to rent on the French side, but you really do need that. And then when we dropped the rental car off, we followed the instructions that were on our like document, and it instructed us to go back to the French side. And they, in fact, scooted us back over to the Swiss side to drop it off. So you just have to be careful about that. I've never seen that before in another airport. So I didn't even know that was a thing, but that's a little detail to pay attention to if you do happen to use a rental car.
Okay. So anything else that the family should be aware of?
I would just say pad your budget for especially food. Like, just know that it's going to be a little extra. I found it more convenient as far as transportation goes to use the Berner Oberland pass, because then you just don't have to think about it. I know some people are paying for this like one ticket at a time, one trip at a time. And for me, it was just simple to get the pass and not even stress about it for the days that we were there. I would definitely recommend that. I would recommend, you know, especially if you're taking kids to find activities like what we were able to do that keep them excited to be there and engaged. And you as an adult are going to love the view no matter what. And you're allowing them to enjoy the experience too. So,
yeah, great. Well, you've obviously made some wonderful family memories on this trip. Do you have any plans perhaps for a future trip to Switzerland?
I sure hope so. I'm already thinking, okay, where would I go next? Because, you know, we kind of spent a lot of time in one section, right? But there's so much that we haven't seen. So I hope to go again, and I hope to explore some of the places that we haven't been to yet.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, thank you very much, Carrie. It's been great chatting to you. I will put in the show notes for those listeners who are interested, I'll just put jot down where you stayed and the places that you visited on your itinerary, so that if anyone else is keen to check them out with their own family, or even with if they're traveling without children, they've got all that information there. So thank you again. It's been a pleasure chatting to you and hearing about your wonderful trip.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. It was fun talking to you.
Bye for now. Whilst Carrie wishes she had been able to stay longer in Switzerland, I think that's true of just about everyone who visits. But as she has proved, thanks to it being a relatively small country, you can cover a lot of ground in a relatively short space of time. Limiting the number of different overnight destinations to just three was a good decision, in my opinion, as changing your lodging every night can be very time consuming. I love that Carrie was able to include lots of activities that the children enjoyed, such as playgrounds, swimming, and chocolate factories, and combine them with things that the adults enjoyed too. Going up to the mountains like Mannlichen and Armenhubel and sitting there taking in the stunning views whilst the kids played in the playgrounds would have been no hard task at all. You'll find links to all the places the family stayed at and the places they visited in the show notes for this episode. I'll also include a link to a detailed guide and a previous podcast episode about the Berner Oberland Pass that Carrie mentioned. This is a regional transport pass that includes public transport, boat rides, and mountain excursions in the Berner Oberland. So it's something you might want to consider if you're visiting that area. The show notes can be found at holidaystoswitzerland.com/episode82. Thank you for joining me today. Next time, we're heading to the region that is best known as being the home of Zermatt, but has so much more to offer. I hope you'll join me then. Tschüss!
If you'd like more great resources to help you plan your dream trip to Switzerland, there are lots of ways to connect with us. Visit our website, holidaystoswitzerland.com, sign up for our monthly newsletter, or join our friendly, helpful community of past and future travellers in our Switzerland Travel Planning Group. You'll also find the links to connect with us in the show notes for this episode. Show notes and a list of all previous episodes are available at holidaystoswitzerland.com/podcast. Don't miss out on your fortnightly dose of Swiss travel inspo. Hit the subscribe button on your favourite podcast app so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed the show, please leave a rating. That's all for this edition of the Holidays to Switzerland Travel Podcast. Thanks for joining us, and happy travel planning.